We are today going to be concluding a series we started a few weeks ago called For the Win. And in this series, we have been really piggybacked off of our previous series, which was Build Your Church, if you remember. And when we finished Build Your Church, we talked about this idea of building a legacy, that New Life Church would follow the example we see throughout Scripture, that it would be a move of God that goes from generation to generation, to see to it that New Life Church doesn't just exist and survive, but is a thriving, growing church until Jesus chooses to return. And the reason that is so deep in us is because of the reality that heaven and hell is real, eternity is real, and God's redemption is powerful, and that is the gospel, that is the power of God for salvation. So we want to be moving forward and thriving and reaching people, but ultimately we know in order to sustain a move of God and to build a legacy that will outlive all of us, we first have to keep the next generation in mind. We always have to have the next generation in mind. And so in order to win, we know that in large we have to be passing the baton of faith off to each and every next generation. Now, sometimes the next generation may be our own children, parents, because it certainly is. One of our highest callings as a parent is the passing of the baton to our own children. But even if you call New Life Church your home and you don't have kids here, the passing of the baton to the next generation, it could be some of our kids in this church. It could be the youth of this church. It could even be the next person that gives their life to Jesus, no matter their particular age. But they are new in the faith, they need discipled. And so will you come alongside those that are new to the faith or those that are young, those of the next generation, and sow into them to see to it that the gospel, that this move of God will continue far beyond our own lives, but until Jesus returns. And what we've talked about in the last couple weeks is that we know that God has established his kingdom on earth as a relay race, and a successful baton pass to our children is our highest calling. It's our highest calling. Psalm 71:17 has been a scripture verse that we've kind of come back to. It says, "Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. For even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." Come on, how many of you believe that there are more to come? There are more to come here at New Life. That New Life doesn't just exist while we're here, but New Life Church existed before many of us. It will exist long after us, and not because life is his church. And it's in God's church. God has a mission, so he has a church. He doesn't have a church and then have a mission. No, it's the other way around. Because God is on a mission to rescue and redeem broken humanity, he has a church. He has this church. And so we want to declare the mighty acts of God to all who are to come. Even when I'm old and gray, don't forsake me, God, until I get to declare your power to the next generation. May that be the anthem of our church. We also said that we can build a culture in our home that is stronger than the culture deceiving our kids. We'll lean into that a little bit more today as we wrap up this series of messages. But I also want to encourage you that it's sometimes when we hear these types of messages, we can not feel as encouraged as I maybe had hoped we would feel encouraged. But sometimes it only helps highlight our own personal parental failures. But what I do want to encourage you with, if that is the case, is that God is not looking for perfect parents to pass the baton to perfect children. He's looking for courageous and faithful parents who are willing and repentant, with repentant and humble hearts, to pass on a legacy of redemption, holiness, and wisdom. I know there's a lot to that statement. I usually try to make them really short for you. But I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Because, listen, parents, we are going to mess up. I've messed up this week. But as long as we are willing to be repentant and humble, then we can pass on to our children that they also don't have to live up to perfection. But we do have to have a principle in our homes, and it's a principle of redemption. Otherwise, when our kids find themselves in trouble, they'll run and hide. Well, let's build redemption and humility into our homes, and one of holiness and wisdom. So to finish off our For the Win series, I want to talk about how to stick the handoff. How to stick the handoff. When we opened up the series, we talked about the 2008 Olympic team that was expected to win the gold medal because they had four of the fastest runners in the world on their relay. But in that race, as you know, the very final pass of the baton was dropped and the team was disqualified. And so throughout this whole series, we've been talking about this idea of a relay race and building legacy, that the real win is the successful pass of the baton to the next generation and then watching them run off in the distance towards the finish line. That is the win. The win is not my personal speed. My win is when my baton goes to the hands of the next generation. My win is when I see the baton in the hands of my boys and I see them running on to win. And even if they're the ones that ultimately cross the finish line and they may receive the credit belongs to all who ran before. That is the win. And so in a relay race, the critical moment comes when a runner begins to approach in this box marked on the track called the exchange zone. In the exchange zone is where the baton has to be passed from one runner to the next. Not before and not after. It has to happen in the exchange box. This is the most practiced moment of a relay team because so much has to happen. Ideally, what you want to see is that at the moment the baton is passed, both runners are at top speed or close to it. And a flawless baton pass means that they flawlessly go from and never leave full speed at the passing of the baton and can maximize their momentum and continue on in the race. So what's tricky is that this pass is made without any eye contact, because in order to be running full speed or with your greatest potential, your eyes are forward and you're running and then having to reach back to receive the baton. And so this is, they practice obviously a lot. The moment of the pass baton, when it comes, the runner behind them with the baton will yell out to them to receive the baton. And what many runners will say is they will yell out, "Stick!" And at the word "stick," the runner in front then throws their arm behind them in order to receive the stick, the baton. And at the coming of each generation, God is yelling, "Stick!" Every time a baby is born, it's as though God is proclaiming, "Stick!" And the passing of the baton to the next generation is of high importance. The beautiful image of a relay race is not to be romanticized as an easy stroll. Instead, it should be respected as a difficult battle. Come on, parents, say amen to that. Grandparents. Because maybe you're here today and your family has experienced the battle for the baton. Maybe your family has even experienced dropped batons. And if that's the case, I still have good news for you. And that is that parenting is not a sprint relay. It is an endurance a distance relay. And even if you've experienced drop batons or past failures, there is still time to pick up the baton, run and win. It's never too late. It's important to remember that whatever has happened in the past, whatever the stage of our parenting is, whether they're 2 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, whatever the stage, the race is not over until you leave this earth. So we must not give up, whatever the stage of the race. I hope that someone today chooses to pick up the baton and go back to battle. Go back to battle for your kids, no matter how old they are. Go back to battle for the next generation. New Life Church, just thinking of our church, let's go to battle for the baton to see to it that this would be a church that sees generation after generation after generation marked and changed by the Word of God. What I appreciate about our church is that we see multiple generations in our church. So there are even families that have multiple generations in this church. I love that because I think it shows us a beautiful picture that we see throughout Scripture. So we must not give up on the battle for the baton. In the Bible, there specifically, some of the Psalms were written by those that are called the sons of Korah. There are some really powerful psalms written in that book of the Bible by these sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, they were a type of worship leader in the tribe of Levi. What we do see through their writings is that the sons of Korah must have had a really deep and intimate relationship with God. What's also encouraging is, although that we see a lot of dropped batons in Scripture, we talked about some of those, that there's evidence here that this was a successful baton pass to the sons of Korah. I mean, listen to some of the things that the sons of Korah have written and is recorded in the Bible. Psalm 42, this will probably sound familiar to some of you. It says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God." I always remember that one well because we sang the song when I was a kid. You know, "As the deer panteth for..." It's like one of the first songs I learned on piano, you know. And listen to this, Psalm 84. Again, the sons of Korah penned this. It says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for joy to the living God." And verse 10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." This is the sons of Korah. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the sons of Korah, but I do wonder where they got this passion from. Psalm 44 is also written by the sons of Korah, and it does give us a bit of insight into where they may have received this passion from. Listen to this. In Psalm 44, it says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds that you did in their days of old." These sons of Korah, some of the writers of Psalms, with an apparent passion and zeal for God, heard it from their fathers. Come on, parents, if that doesn't just do something to you, that doesn't rekindle something in you, or even to our church, to see the next generation as those that we should be voicing and sharing our stories with. It's almost as the sons of Korah saying, that this passion we have for God, we have because we heard the stories of our Father. That our parents were able to articulate to us their personal experiences with God, and it influenced us to want what they have. And that's how we build momentum into the next generation. And so when it comes to sticking the handoff, I'm going to give you three things. The first is this: you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot give what you do not have. We must first have a passion and an intimate relationship with the Lord. In other words, we first must have a baton in our hand to give them. New Life Church, we must have a baton in our hand that we can give to the next generation. And the baton in our hand, they better even want it. It better not turn them off. They better see it and hear our stories and say, I want to be a part of that. So if all we have is some old dead religion, then who really wants that anyway? The first thing we can do is cultivate a personal, passionate, intimate relationship with God that we can pass off to the next generation. Let me ask you this. Does the next generation see something we have spiritually that they long to have? Or is our faith vibrant? And if not, why would they want to receive it from us? The next generation, our kids, those coming up in this church, they need to see your authentic, your passionate, your zeal for God. So even if you're a part of this church and maybe you don't have kids in this church, if you want to help stick the baton to the hands of the next generation, then here's one thing that you can do. Just be passionate for God. That when you're here, when the next generation is in your vicinity, let's worship with passion. Let's be authentic and real with our faith here on the daily, so that the next generation sees your passion and is inspired by it. Many of you inspire me. Your passion inspires me. I think of that, how I had the privilege to grow up in church and how I saw the passion of those around me, and it influenced me. Whether it be the passion of a youth pastor, or the passion I saw in my parents, or the passion I just saw in the people of my church, it influenced me. So if we want to stick the baton to the hands of the next generation, let them see your passion. Let them see your authenticity. So be forthright even about times that we failed, but how we recovered, and how and stories of redemption. Because what the next generation never wants to hear is some like perfect idea, to portray this faith as something that is so perfected. No. Let's just give them the reals, like the real stories of struggle. The real stories of what redemption looks like and how messy of a process it can be. And then they'll say, I'm a mess. I must need that kind of redeeming power. But if it's stiff and it's perfect and it's religious, they just say, I don't know how that's going to help me. So be real, be authentic, but be passionate. You cannot give what you do not have. So we must give the next generation what we have in our hearts, not just what we have in our heads. Benjamin Franklin, he's quoted by saying, tell me and I forget. I feel like my kid could have said that, actually. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. Tell me and I forget, teach me And I remember, involve me and I learn. Not only should our faith and our passion, we have a personal passion, let's involve our children. Let's involve the next generation in this thing. And they too will learn. So to stick the pass of the baton, the second thing is winning requires passion for the passing. In a poll of Christian parents, you won't believe this, but they were asked, what are the most important things they desire for their children? 7 out of 10 Christian parents did not mention the goal of their children having a personal relationship with Jesus. 7 out of 10. My guess is that most parents probably put near the top of their list that their kids would go to a good college and be successful. The very colleges that statistically speaking are destroying the faith of our kids. So think about that. Because the reality is that the next generation, they will take somebody's baton. They will take the baton. But the question is, whose baton will they take? Their character will be developed by somebody. Our children, our grandchildren, the next generation of this church, their character, it will be developed by somebody. Their morals for living, they will come from somebody. But will that somebody be you? Don't be fooled. The next generation will receive a baton. The question is, whose baton will they receive? Who will make the handoff into their lives that will affect the rest of their lives? And what we know is that this world is hungry to put batons in the hands of our kids. Some of the largest media organizations, Viacom being one of them, they have strategic plans. They have a plan that's, they call it the cradle to grave plan. Companies like Viacom, they own every media that our children have been devouring since they're little, since they were littles. They own Nick Jr., Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, CMT, MTV, VH1, Paramount. They own all of these channels of brands in order to put batons in the hands of our children so that they become lifelong spenders in their brands. And so they'll take an innocent young actress like a Hannah Montana and then evolve her into a Miley Cyrus in order to captivate an audience from cradle to grave. They'll take a young, inspiring talent like a Britney Spears, put her on the Disney Channel, but then slowly elevate her to MTV with less clothing and more scandalous type music. And so that young people get attached to things in their early childhood, and they have a strategic plan to continue to put batons in the hands of our kids. And this is what, unfortunately, too many people have got their morals from. It's from things like this. These are our children. I kind of had an awakening moment one time years ago. Jenny and I, for years we could never afford to have internet at our own house, or you know, we didn't have cable TV. We just couldn't afford something a novelty like that for many years. And I remember the time came that we were like, let's get internet at the house. We were so excited to have internet access. And it was actually cheaper to get internet with a basic cable package. I was like, I don't want cable. I just want internet. Like, well, it's cheaper if you bundle. Just get basic. So we did. We got the basic because it was cheaper. And I remember, like, I was like, man, cable TV, this is like, wow. And internet, like, we're really high rolling, man. And I remember we turning the TV on and, like, found a kid's channel and, like, letting the kids watch TV. Because up until that moment, it was like, if we were going to let the kids watch something, we'd throw a DVD in. But now, like, here's cable TV. It's on in front of them. And then a commercial came on. And it was for a toy. And I looked at my then younger Aiden and Joel, my younger twins. Gray was just a baby. And they're captivated by the television, seeing this toy. And they turned, one of them turned to me and said, "Daddy, I want that toy." And it hit me. I thought to myself, if that toy salesman knocked on my front door, I would have never let him in. If a toy salesman knocked my door and said, "Can I have a couple minutes of your child's time, but without you?" I would say, "Get lost," wouldn't you? You're not gonna speak to my child without me, try to sell him something. But yet, I would not let them in my front door, but they're in my living room. And they're selling my kids something. And that is a hint of influence that things like media has on our own children, even when we're not looking. And so this is what I mean when I say we can build a culture in our home stronger than the culture deceiving our kids. Because it's not about filtering it all so that they never, ever get hit with any of it, because it's impossible. God did not baby-proof the Garden of Eden. He didn't. He actually put the tree of knowledge and the tree of life right next to each other in the middle. That seems odd. So what we do need to do as parents is protect our kids, have boundaries, but out-influence the world. Out-influence the world. Because our children will take somebody's baton. I don't know about you parents, grandparents. I don't know about you, New Life. Nobody knows what my kids need more than me, more than Jenny. And they don't need anybody's baton but ours. That's my blood. Those are my boys. Those are our children. Those are the children that my wife and I have stayed up all night sometimes caring for. Those are the kids that we've had to take to the doctor and to the hospital. They're the ones that we've nursed every boo-boo. They're the ones that we've had to help when their feelings are hurt or when they're going through something. They're the ones that we have had our greatest memories with. And some other sucker thinks they're going to put their baton in my kid's hand. And they're going to get their character from our world. They're going to get their morals from our world because of what? Because they sell it better. I don't know about you. I get a little fired up about this. And I know that's not like me. But this fires me up. And for over a decade as a youth pastor, I was really, really fired up about ensuring that there's proper boundaries in things like media for our kids. Because the world has slippery ways of putting batons in our kids' hands. And they start getting their morals, they start getting their character from things like that. So what we don't want to see is a generation getting their morals from memes. Or character from TikTok. But generation from generation being rooted in the Word of God, it's still true today. It is still the source of truth. It is still relevant for today. It's not irrelevant because it's old. It's relevant because it's old. Because it was spoken years ago and it's still true today. So our kids, the next generation, they will take the baton from somebody. It better be us. And that baton better be rooted in the Word of God. The third thing is that the handoff comes through relationship. You can't just hand off the baton to the next generation because you say so. When you call out, stick, they don't have to reach out. When you call out, stick, son, daughter, stick, run, go, they could do this. Sometimes they do. The handoff comes through relationship. It's like in the Olympics. At every handoff, it is not the first time that they've practiced it. But for sometimes years, they have practiced in building a chemistry as a team so that they can run and win. And that when the handoff matters, it works. So parents, every moment you have in the car with your kid alone, practice the handoff. Ask them how their heart is. Take moments to make memories that they can see your consistency in their lives. We must connect with them. And at New Life Church, I would even tell you this too, that even if you don't have kids in our church, when you see the next generation in our church, connect with them. Connect with them. Connect with them before you try to correct them. Just connect with them. Let them see you're trustworthy. Let them see your heart of passion and love for them because of your passion and love for the Lord. Malachi 4:6 says, He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. I want you to notice the hearts of the parents turn towards their kids first. Maybe if you're here today and there's a fractured relationship in your family, who goes first? I challenge you to go first. If we turn our hearts to the next generation, they in turn will turn their hearts to us. And we can have our kids' hearts. If parents will turn their hearts to their children, they can capture their hearts and their lives will be turned to Jesus. I would also say that whoever has the heart of our children will have their ear. And whoever has their ear will have their destiny. So one last question for all of us in this for the win is, will you run? Will you run? And four quick things for the win. The first is, run your race. Don't feel like you have to run my race. Don't feel like you have to run someone else's race. Run your race. No one else has the kids you have. No one else has the calling you have. Run your race. The second thing is, remain passionate for God. In your darkest seasons, in your hardest times, when you feel like giving up, remain passionate for God. The third thing is, have your kids' hearts. Having connection with your kids is far greater than having correction. Keep their hearts. And the fourth, like in any race, don't give up. Even when a baton is dropped, don't give up. Even when you experience failures, you make mistakes, don't give up. Run your race. Stay passionate for God. Have the hearts of your kids. Let's stand together this morning as we wrap this up and wrap up this whole series. I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you're ready to be intentional as New Life Church continues to keep our eye on the next generation. Being thankful, grateful, and honoring for all of those that have gone before us. Gleaning from the example of our parents and our spiritual fathers and mothers that we've all had. But now turning our eye to the next generation and saying, God, would you do it again? Lord, would you do it again? Would you do it again in them like you did it in me? For all to come. Lord, we love you. God, I pray that New Life would be a church that will run and win. We will run and win. And the win is with every successful pass of the baton to every new believer, every son and daughter. God, I pray that there you would rise up a great faith and confidence in the hearts of every mother, every father, every grandfather, every grandmother that's here today. Moreover, God, I pray that you would raise up spiritual fathers and mothers that will help disciple and train and raise a next generation of believers that may come from brokenness, that may not have had good godly examples in their life, but redemption is still for them. And they will find a community of people called your church where they can find spiritual fathers and mothers that will love and care for them and pass a new baton into their hands as well. Lord, I pray for every family that experiences brokenness and failures, children that have refused to align themselves to the principles and values that they were told as a child growing up. Lord, your redemption is still as real now as it was then. God, we pray that there would be great reconciliation that could take place between parents and children, children and parents, from generation to generation, that God, there would be a healing, a connectivity established again. Because we know your scripture says that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Not punishment, not fear, not rules and regulation, unconditional love and kindness leads people to repentance. Renew in us, Lord, hearts for our kids, our grandkids, and that we keep an eye on the next generation, that we would see a legacy built at New Life of lives changed, hope found, relationships restored from now until the return of our Savior, in Jesus' name. Now with just a heart of praise and worship, let's sing one last song together before we pray and dismiss.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.